And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, It is not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The scribes and the priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up in the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, look at, consider. The fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said to them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now then, to connect it back into the last two Sundays, or last Sunday, what is something that would help in a building of a congregation? What would be the one thing that you and I could do individually that would help to build, that would help to impress, to encourage, to inspire, to challenge people? What would that be? Whole Bible full of things. I tell you what it is. Have faith in God. Now, faith will do something that will challenge people. It can encourage them, it can challenge them, it can stir them, it can bless them, and it uplift them, it can teach them. But faith is something that you and I need. Matter of fact, it's the bedrock of the whole thing, basically. It said, repent ye and what? Believe the gospel. We've got to believe. We've got to have faith in God. And Jesus just outright, point blank, told them here, told Peter and him, he said, have faith in God. This is not something that's sent down by word of mouth by somebody else. But he said, I want you to have faith in God. They saw the fig tree, and they saw what had happened and so forth, and they would observed everything. And so he said, have faith. Now, several years ago when the wife was sick, we took her, Donna come home, and she had begun to deteriorate some or get worse. So Donna told her, said, Mama, I want to go down to the, she was a paramedic for REACT, and REACT has a classroom in the, a school south of us down there that they teach out of. And in that room, they had a place where they could hook her up to a heart monitor and see what everything was doing. And she said, I just want to check and see what your heart's doing. Can we do that? She said, well, yeah, I'll go. So we went down there. To help Donna was a young lady by the name of Kim. Kim had been into the EMT business probably a little bit longer than Donna. One thing that she had studied, and Donna knew this, was the heart. She knew quite a bit about the heart. So I was standing, Rebecca was here and had both of them, one on each side, and I was behind. And they hooked her up to that machine, turned it on, and her heart rate was running 175 to 200. And I looked at that, and I knew right then, if God didn't do something, she was going to die. So we took her back home. Donna that night set in to break her mama down. Now, I'm not telling this for any glory to Rebecca. I just want you to see something in faith. And she set in, and she, mama this and mama that. So Rebecca asked her some questions. Said, you all talked about a little pill. Said, if I would take that little pill, how long could I live? She said, probably 2 years at the most. Okay. And they could do this and they could do that. And I don't remember what all they told her they could do for her. And she said, well, Donna, let me tell you something. She said, I've never had an aspirin. I've never had an Anacin. I've never had a dose of medicine all my life. Said, God has been my healer ever since I was a child. Said, he's healed me over and over, and he can do it again, and that's what I want. I want the Lord to take care of me, heal me, something like that. All right, now then, I said all that to say this. This is the catch right here. Kim, the woman that helped, she also come out to the house a time or two and was checking on Rebecca. And since Donna worked there, it didn't cost anything to us, and they just checked her blood pressure and different things. And so when Rebecca died, I called Donna. Donna hadn't been gone very long. She went on down, was gone maybe 15 minutes, 30 minutes before she passed. And Kim told Donna later, she said, let me tell you something. She said, of all the people that I've observed that had convictions of something, said they all caved when the pain got bad enough. They all went down. In other words, they couldn't take it. Faith in God is a powerful thing. Faith in God is what's going to make an impression on people. Faith in God is what's going to encourage people, lift people. It's going to bless a congregation. It's going to build a congregation. And today, he said, have faith in God. Like I said, the Bible said in one place, repent ye and believe the gospel. So then he goes on down in here and talking about the fig tree. I've always likened the fig tree to small trials and battles, something that wasn't huge and big. But then he said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. Now he said the mountain. The mountain. How many of you have been up on a mountain? How many of you climbed on a mountain? How many drove up a mountain? How many looked at them from the air? They're massive. They're huge. I've been to one in in Alaska. Biggest one, I guess, in all the continental United States. And looked at it for miles and miles away. I could see it. And it was huge. The only problem was it was shrouded in clouds, and all we got to see was just the very top of it. And get to see it. They say very few people get to see the whole thing as long as if you're traveling there. But it was a monster. If you went to take that mountain down, it would take a long time to dig it down. You'd have to have a lot of equipment and a lot of money and a lot of dynamite and a lot of big machines to be able to take that mountain down. And he says here, he said, have faith in God. You see what was done to the fig tree. This is something that ain't a real big thing. I just cursed it and it went away, so to speak. And here now then, I want you to know, Peter. I want you to know, James and John. I want you to know that something even bigger than that can be taken care of by faith. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and it'll do if you don't doubt. If you have faith in God, listen, folks, when we get into big problems and big troubles and things start going against us, so to speak, we've got to have faith in God. We've got to hold tight, because God is the key to the whole thing. And what things soever you pray, you desire, when you pray, believe. Believe now, have faith that you receive them, and you shall have them. What's the word shall mean? Who can tell me? Shall is absolute. It's not I'll think about it, or it might happen tomorrow. Shall is an absolute. That's the reason I love that scripture. I say unto you, ask and you shall receive. It's not something where he's thinking about, I might give it to you, but I will help you. I will bless you. I know there's the will of God. I know all that. But the bottom line still is, God is in the business of answering prayer. He's in the business of taking down mountains. He's in the business of casting them in the sea. He's in the business of giving you and I victory. But we've got to have faith in God. And we want people around us to look. We want people to see people that's standing firm and solid for God, what we teach and what we believe. We want them to look at it and say, they did it. One sister got up at Guthrie one time many, many years ago. I was young then. And she got up and she said, I want you to know that I believe I need more love this morning. And I looked at her and I thought, you're the epitome of love. What are you talking about? You got lots of love, sister. But she said, I think I need more. Well, anybody need any more love? Could we use more love? Yeah, we could. And I was just a little tight, so to speak, in the Lord. And here she was, an older, but she knew that she could use some more, even though she'd been saved many, many, many years. The bottom line was, she had love, but she wanted more. We have faith. Could we have more? Would the Lord be pleased in us growing in faith, building up your most holy faith? Would He be pleased in having a body of people that is very, very staunch in their thing for God and working and living for Him day after day? Yes, He would. Romans 1 and 17 says here, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. All right, a definition of faith is, faith is a dependence on the veracity of another, firm belief or trust in a person, listen to what this says, a person, thing, doctrine, or statement, and one is said to keep faith when he performs the promise made to another. It said, saving faith is the acceptance by the intellect, affection, and will of God, God's favor extended to man through Christ. This faith produces a sincere obedience in the life and the conversion. The firm foundation of faith is the essential supreme perfection of God, His unerring knowledge, immutable truth, infinite goodness, and almighty power. Now then, we can have faith in a lot of things. You got to have faith in your car that's going to start. You go out and get in your car and stick your key in, you got faith it's going to fire right up. What if it don't? It cannot fire. You got to have faith in one another. You've got to have faith in a companion. You got to have faith in a sense in your children. Your children's got to have faith in the parents. There's all kinds of things that we can have faith in. But God said, have faith in God. I am the one that created you. I'm the one that takes care of you. I do for you what you ask me to do, so to speak, as much as you can anyway. And what I mean by that, in other words, if it's outside the will of God, He may not answer that prayer. But the bottom line is always when we're praying in the will of God, He wants to help us. He wants to give us things. He wants to deepen us down in the things of faith. So He said, the just shall live by faith. Lord, help us today. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3 is a now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of the things which do appear. All right, now I want to read you some translations on this first verse. Have faith in God. All right, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is that saying? And then it's the evidence of things not seen. Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. But faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Faith is being sure of the things we hope for. Now faith is a title deed of things hoped for. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes. And on the last part, evidence of things not seen, it's being the proof of things we, in parentheses, do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real what is not revealed to the senses. On my honeymoon, 1983, I got sick. Sick all night, sick the next morning, so we called for prayer. And I wasn't bad sick, but I had a high fever. I never did know what was wrong with me, but I was sick. I didn't feel good. And so Rebecca, she called for prayer. And then she started praying. And bless her heart, she done something real good. She prayed for everybody first and me last. And that kind of bothered me a little bit. But anyway, as she was praying, the Lord spoke to me and he said, thank God for victory. Thank God for healing. Thank God for healing. And I'm thinking, I'm not well. He said, thank God for healing. I said, Lord, I'm not well. And he said it the third time, thank God for healing. I'm laying there going, I'm not well. Well, she got through praying. I said, get the Bible and let's read some scriptures and let's quote some scriptures, which we did. I said, now then, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me. And she did. We done all that. And she laid hands on and she started praying. And when she did, the Lord opened my eyes is what he was saying. In other words, what he wanted me to do was thank God for being healed before I felt it or seen it. Now that's faith. That is reaching out. Exactly what this said. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real what is not revealed to the senses. In other words, he wanted me to start thanking God for healing. And I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I was laying there and I was still sick, my opinion. But I started thanking God. And when I did, things started changing immediately. I started improving. A little bit I got better and better. I got up, we got dressed, or I got dressed anyway. And we took off and went on the rest of our honeymoon. The Lord teaching me something. Listen, folks, it is not easy to do that sometimes because the devil wants to point you to everything that's wrong with you. He wants to point you to every pain. He wants you to point you to any scar or whatever. He wants to point you to things and let you say, see there, that's not getting well. See there, you're still hurting. See there, you're sick at your stomach. Listen, folks, today I've seen in praying for people, I'm talking about a group of us praying around somebody that's very sick and we had pray and we'd pray and pray, and then we would take the bull by the horns, as the old saying goes, and we'd start thanking God for healing, and I've seen him touch him over and over, and everything start calming down, everything start changing. God wants you and I to have now faith, right now. Today, faith can be alive, it can be real to you and I. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it said, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now then, what kind of report have we got? People are looking on us, what would they say about our faith? Would they say, hey, that's a man of faith. That's a woman of faith. I've watched them for years, and they're the same solid one. They're still doing exactly what the Lord has taught them, revealed to them, opened up to them, and done what needed to be done. He is still doing that very thing. The elders obtained a good report. I want a good report. How about you? I want the Lord to say, he's doing good. He's doing good. It said, because through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, the ages to have been fitted together by the declaration of God, that the world came into being by the command, that the worlds were put in order by God's command, that the universe was created at the bidding of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that could be a little bit hard to grasp a hold of. But basically, not basically, absolutely, God created everything out of nothing. Can we believe that? Can we believe the trees? God just made them out of nothing? Now we have this building. God didn't make the building, but he made everything connected with the building, so to speak. So God, he done all of this, and the Lord wants us to reach up and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given to me. Thank you for the home. Thank you for the cars. Thank you for the money. Thank you for the furniture. Thank you for this and this, because he gave it to us. We at one time didn't have it. We might not have been able to get it. Brother Sammons told of two brothers over there in West Virginia, both of them needed a job, and they started praying and said, God created a job for each one of them. Give them a job. They didn't have one. Didn't have no income. God, give them a job. Oh, today. Said, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. Help us to have a good report. Help people to be blessed by our faith. We can encourage people with our faith. We can be a blessing to them in lots and lots of ways because we have faith in God. You can go through a battle and a trial, and it'd be a big one, be a mountain. And you can hold steady in that. You can pray and you can fast and you can look to God. And God's working. And other people are watching you and they say, if he can go through it, I can too. God can give him the victory and give it to me too. Listen, folks, that's what we need. We need people to look on. And they need to look at and say that I appreciate what they're doing. Oh, I appreciate that. All right, let's go to 1 John. 1 John 5 and 4. 1 John 5 and 4. Have faith in God. It said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now then, John 16 and 33. John 16 and 33. Jesus here talking. And he tells us that these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And he says over here, he said, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, there's a lot of things connected with the world, so to speak. In other words, what I mean by that, the world is a big subject. I was preaching about the world one time in Guthrie many years ago. An older saint, I have confidence in her, and she come up, she said, I didn't need that message at all. She said, I've heard that all of my life. Well, okay, thank the Lord, but I said, you're not the only one here. We got young people. We had 50 young couples there at that time and children. And then another mother that was younger, she's a little bit younger than I am, several years, I guess. But anyway, her and her husband, they had their three children at that time. I don't think they had their fourth one. They had their three children. And she came up to me. She said, I want to thank you for that message. Said, you're backing up exactly what husband and I is teaching at home. Backing it up, supporting it, see. The Lord wants us to help to support one another. All right, now then, if we get into some bad, well, let's say it this way. It said here, he said, no, I'm in the wrong spot. I'm going to read right again the right spot. It said, for whosoever is born of God, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And then he said over here, he said, I have overcome the world. Jesus met all the opposition, all the things that he had to go through. He met that and dealt with that and overcame that. And that way, he knows how to help you and I to overcome the world. If we have opposition, if we have discouragement, if we're meeting things on the job that is hard, if we're meeting things in a family that people are criticizing and condemning and so forth, that could be part of this whole scenario of the world. And the bottom line was, Christ met all of that. When he dealt with the devil on the after the 40 days of fasting and so forth, the devil showed him these things and tried to tempt him and work with him. That would be some of the world, so to speak, coming against Christ. But Christ overcame every one of them. He told him, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the others, I don't remember just all the rest of the statement. But Christ overcame, see. He got in the garden, and it was in the end. Now, he had gotten so close to the very end, the devil didn't just run off and hide. The devil just didn't say, well, now you just go on and everything will be fine. No, the devil's still opposing Christ. He's still trying to work through his flesh. He's still trying to discourage and pull him down. The devil is still working even at that. But the Lord said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Again, he got the victory. Listen, folks, he can help you and I to overcome those things that are so hard on us, that may be pressed against us, and we're struggling with it maybe a little bit. And just remember, Christ went through it, he got it, and he kept it. You and I can get it and keep it, praise God. We can have the victory over the world. All right, let's get down to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and 6. I got three sets of scriptures here. Galatians 5 and 6. He says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Faith which worketh by love. All right, let's go to James, the second chapter. James, the second chapter here. Read a little bit here. James 2, and we'll start in the 14th verse. He said, "But what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have works and have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to him, you just go depart in peace and be warmed and be filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that I have faith, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works with faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believeth God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" Now then, he said in Galatians, all right, now then let's go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews. I'm going to be in Hebrews quite a bit this morning. Hebrews 11 and 6. It said, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now then, he said that faith which worketh by love. You and I, people are going to look at us, and they're going to expect to see. If we claim to be a Christian, they're going to expect to see something out of us. They're going to expect to have something out of us. In other words, if they are really in, just like they said, if they need something to eat and drink, and we just, well, just be a warm field, go your way. What's that saying to them? Faith and love work together. And so consequently, if we say we have faith in a God that's what? Love. We have a faith in God that's of mercy, pity, and compassion. So if he has it, we're supposed to have it. And so actually what works is here is action. Faith which worketh by love. And it said works, he said, that actually what that is action. So it's action. So Lord, help you and I to have some action with our faith. So 14, what did it profit, my brethren, though a man say have faith and have not works? Translation on that said, my brothers, what is the use of anyone declaring that he has faith if he has not deeds to show? My brothers, what is the good of a man saying that he has faith if he does not prove it by his actions? By his actions. I preached along this line one time a number of years ago in a tent meeting up in Ohio. And Brother Keith Fuller at that time was a teacher. And the Lord had been dealing with him to quit his job and go full-time in the ministry. And he was struggling with that. And this helped him in the fact that he felt like the Lord speaking to him said, you need some actions to go with your faith. You need to have faith in me, but you need some actions, so you need to quit that and do this. And that's what he did. He just quit the job and retired or whatever, resigned, whatever he done. And he went full-time in the ministry. Now that, I got news for you, is not an easy thing to do. When I started going full-time, the devil come up to me one night, and I was working on a job, I was buffing the floor and going along, and he is like a big old tube. And I looked at that tube, and it was all dark in there. And I was fixing to give up my job, I was fixing to go full-time in the ministry, and I was looking at the whole thing, and I thought, I got scared. I'll be honest with you, I got a little bit scared. And I looked at it, and it looked dark. And it looked a little bit hard. And the Lord gave me a scripture. You know what he said? He said, once I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And he gave me that scripture, and I looked at that, and I put the two together. I said, I can do it. I can go. Well, I got out that first fall. Brother Egbert and I was working together, and we was out in South Carolina. And again, the devil come along, and he started again. Listen, folks, just because you get victory one time, that don't mean the devil's going to come along again and try to discourage you or depress you or hurt you or wound you or whatever. He's going to do it over and over if he can. Well, he came up to me and he started working on me again. So I told Brother Egbert, I said, well, I said, we were staying in a cabin. And I said, I need to go pray. All right. So I went to the chapel, went to praying. He started praying in the cabin, and the Lord showed him what my problem was. And showed him exactly. When I got back, he said, did the Lord tell you this? I said, well, not exactly that, but he showed me this. But they tied together, if I remember right. In other words, the Lord told me again. He said, I will take care of your needs. You will pay your bills. You will be able to drive down the road with gas in your tank. You will be able to have clothes to wear and food to eat and so forth. You will have that. And I've had it. I've had it. That took all the way through daughters, or a wife, a second wife, two daughters, and a stepdaughter. The Lord's helping. He said by action. Listen, folks, we need faith that has actions that will help people to see that this God is alive and real, that he's working in 20 and 23. He's not dead. He's not out in a corner and not doing nothing, but he's alive, praise God. And he said, have faith in God. I can do anything. I can take care of anything. I can heal anything. He said, let's look at it this way. I created everything, didn't I? If he created everything, couldn't he do something for us today? He got a lot more years experience, so to speak, if you want to look at it that way, than he did when he first done it. He has all power. He said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Jesus said, I want you to have faith in God. I want you to reach out to God. I want you to get a hold of God and thank God for having the victory, praise God. Thank God for healing. Thank God for power and for authority. Whatever you need, thank God for it. And he can help you have it, praise God. Oh, today, faith without works is dead. Let's have some action. Let's have some action that show people, hey, God's alive. God's alive and he's got power and he's got authority. And he can help you. One person came to me one time. We was talking. And the Lord had been dealing with him and working with him. But he just wouldn't. I just couldn't quite get him saved. I wanted to just push him to the altar. And I thought, no, he's got to go on his own, girl. And I did encourage him. I did work with him. But he told me, he said, Brother Carl, he said, my wife has never been able to give up smoking. Never. And she was quite a chain smoker. And he said, she's tried this and she's tried that. She's done this, she's done that. I looked at him, I said, have you ever heard any testimonies of God giving victory and deliverance to people that smoke? Yeah. I said, have you ever told her that? No. I said, you need to. Listen, folks, testimonies are powerful. It's not just messages. Listen, folks, we have testimonies given every Wednesday night by the mouths of the people that live for God, telling what God's done, praise God. And we can do it again, and we can do it again. We can tell the world. We can tell people on the job. We can tell people, listen, this God's alive, and he wants to help you. He can do things for you if you will just reach out to God and commit to God and pray and repent and confess. He will give you things. He will do things for you. So how's our faith this morning? How's our faith? We living in a world right now, I ain't looked up the word, but we're a heathenistic nation. Now, I may not have quite the right term there, but in other words, we have gone so far from God, and we've gone into all the opposite things in a full, and lately it's just got worse and worse. You can't hardly look at any kind of news without you seeing things that people's been killed. And killed by children. Or killed by whatever. People shooting one another. You can look at it and there's all kind of things in there that's very negative. Several years ago, Sister Hughes, there in the congregation, she's just a little old sweetheart. And she lived about 102. Got to preach her wedding, not her wedding, but her funeral when she died. And she used to take the paper. The old brother Bud Hyson would read it to her because she couldn't see very good. And she said, finally, and then they give me the paper, so I had a free paper. And I liked that. But anyway, she said, Brother Carl, she said, I've quit taking the paper. I said, you have? Yeah. She said, there ain't nothing in there but what's discouraging. There's not any encouragement. Here's the encouragement right here. Here's something that lifts you and bless you is this word of God. The news today, many, many times, the things in there is not much encouragement at all. But this is encouragement. This will tell you exactly what God has done and will do, and he'll help you to do. Have faith in God. God wants us to have faith in God. All right, let's go to Hebrews. And 11th chapter again, 23rd verse, 11:23. He said, by faith Moses, when he was born and was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, when Moses was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What a great man. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had recompense unto the, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And by faith he forsook Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of God, not fearing the wrath of kings, For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, he said here, faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused. He had everything about as perfect as you could get it. He could have been Pharaoh's son. He could have probably stepped into a powerful position. He could have had all kinds of assets and things that would be given to him, and maybe home and land and so forth, maybe power and authority. He could have had all that. But he said here, he refused to be called. Sometimes, folks, we may have some things offered to us that could really push us into an elevated position. I want to be real careful how I say this because I don't want to condemn anybody. But the bottom line is, the higher you go, sometimes there's more things you're going to have to deal with. And could be, you know, be some real problems there. Well, Moses chose to not be that son. He chose not to be in that position, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He looked it all over. And he said, I want to go this way. I don't want to go that way. That was no doubt not easy. Now, I could be wrong on that, but if you think about it, I mean, that could be real temptation. Real temptation for him to want to go the way of Pharaoh, to be his son, to do the things that Pharaoh would have him to do and so forth, to be in a position where he could have a lot of power. But he said, no, I'm going to suffer affliction. I don't know what he knew at that point. Maybe God had revealed some things to him of what he was going to do, but he chose to go the hard way and not the easy way. Listen, folks, we're going to have to go the hard way sometimes. There's going to be times it is not going to be easy. There's going to be times there's going to be some tears. There's going to be times there may be some sleepless nights. There's going to be times you're going to be down on your knees begging God to have mercy and help you. But he said, have faith in God. Moses had faith in God, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Esteeming the reproach. It's getting even worse, so to speak. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I see something. Lord, help us to get a deeper, broader vision. A vision of what Christ has that goes beyond. Goes beyond what we might see otherwise. So he said, esteeming the reproach. And then he said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured. I love this scripture right here. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now then, did not God give him definite, solid things before he sent him to Pharaoh? What did he tell him? Well, what am I going to tell him, God? He said, tell him that I am, that I am. Isn't that what he told him? In other words, I am the God, and I am here. I am the one that created all of this. I have all power in heaven and earth, so to speak. He said, I am that I am. I am. And so consequently, he had a foundation before he ever started, so to speak. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Oh, I love this. For he endured. He went through some things. Let's see, Moses was, if I remember right now, Moses was 40 years old when God, I mean, how was that? When God dealt with him? In other words, there were 40-year increments there. And so he didn't get all this overnight. He went through some trials and tribulations to get where he's at. If we're going to have faith in God, and I'll get into all that later, the bottom line is God wants you and I to build a foundation of faith, and he wants to help build it. And he wants a foundation of faith that is solid. And that's what he'd done with Moses. He took him step by step, and he built a foundation, so to speak, of faith in God, that no matter what he come up against, he was able to go on through. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. He did not. He not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He endured. He went on. He was able to do what God asked him to do as seeing him who is invisible. We have got to see Christ through the eye of faith, and we've got to do it over and over sometimes. Got to see it. Yes, Lord, I see you. I see you. I remember this. Brother Austin Wilson was going through a battle, a tough one, what I understand. And he was walking down a sidewalk, and there was a lot of people. And he didn't say this, but in my mind, I visioned a holiday. And he's walking down, and he was going to go do some shopping maybe or look something up or whatever. And he's going down the sidewalk, and he was thinking about all these things and what he was going through and how hard it was and so forth. And he pushed the door open, and he stepped inside, and he said, God spoke to him, said, I'm going to give you the victory again, just like I did all those other times, praise God. See him who is invisible. See that one that has given us the past victory, praise God. Look on it. Listen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's able to keep giving us victory after victory after victory, praise God. But we got to see him who is invisible. We've got to see him. How close have you ever been to God? What does glory mean? You know what glory is? Glory is the extreme closeness of God. And I'm talking about so close that you can feel that presence so rich. And it happened to me in West Virginia. He got so close to me, I thought I would explode. I was shouting and crying all at the same time. I couldn't hardly handle it. That's glory. That's Christ getting so close. Listen, folks, he done it another time. I was at Brother, this was all at the old general's house, and I was in there, and they were playing some music for me, some singing and stuff, the saints singing, and I was listening to it, and got over there on a song, and he got to pouring it out, and I was shouting, praise God, for what God had done for me already, and he brought me out, and he brought me up on a richer plane of faith and divine healing than I'd ever had. Praise God. People saying, why, Carl? Is the Lord putting you through that at 34 years old? That don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. You're young, and you're young and young minister, and here God putting you through this, and I could have died. But before I did, I didn't. But God was preparing me. He was preparing me to be a pastor. He was preparing me to give me some understanding that I still use today, 40-something year, whatever it would be, 40, 87, 40 years, 35 years, whatever it is, years later. I can, when I go to pray for people and talk to them about what they're suffering, what they're going through, and the pain and everything, I can say, I remember that. Old Brother Clifford Wilson told me, he come out there, he just married his second wife, and she had told the Green Bank congregation that she would come help them in the school that school year. So she said, I've done made this promise. He said, that ain't a problem, dear, I'll go with you. I'm glad he did. He showed up out there, and he was a blessing to me. I didn't hardly ever know Brother Ed's father. I know Brother Ed way better than I did his dad. But anyway, come out there, and Brother Clifford told me one day, he said, Brother Carl, he said, what you're going through is like a film strip. And he said, there's going to be times that things come up and people talking to you, needing counsel and so forth. And he said, you're going to pull up a deal, a frame, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to remember that pain. You're going to remember what Christ done for you and how he helped you and so forth. And he said, that's going to help you help them. And I listened to what he said, and I got news for you. I've used that film strip a lot of times. I've used it over and over. It helps me have compassion. I can get in their bucket with them and cry with them because I know the pain that they're going through. I understand it. Oh, today he saw him that is invisible. Thank God for the Christ that he may be invisible, but we can still see him through the eyes of faith. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And then it said, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. He said, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Now I've done a fair bit of swimming in my day, but I've never done that. God just literally made the children of Israel a pathway through. He told him, he said, you do this. And Moses done it. And it just rolled back, so to speak. And instead of being muddy and clogging up all the wheels on the chariot and everything, the wagons, whatever they had, they just went right on through on dry ground. And here come the Egyptians. I'm going to get you, boy. I got you now. I'm going to get you. And they got out there and the Lord just took care of them. Just whoop, and they all drowned. Listen, you might look at the walls of the water on both sides. You think this is pretty hard, Lord. Well, Moses went through it and you can too. We can go through. As on dry ground, praise God, we can get through those hard spaces by faith. Seeing him that is invisible, seeing him that is able to do what he did then, today, praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for God. Thank the Lord for his power and his authority. All right, let's go to Genesis 12, 1 through 5. And we'll stop here in a little bit. 12 of Genesis 1 through 5. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now then, if we go back to Hebrews, again, 11. I'm glad we have the faith chapter in the Bible. And about the 8th verse of Hebrews. It said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, Abraham, I want you to do something. I want you to get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. I've got something for you. Now, it means something to go by faith. Brother Hudson, over in South Carolina, died in August of 97. And it wasn't very long after he passed away, he dropped dead, basically of a heart attack, what happened to him. And it wasn't very long, the Lord started dealing with me to go to South Carolina. Now, I'd already pastored Guthrie for 3.5 years, but this was a major move. This is not just a little thing. I'd never moved halfway across the country. And there's things about it that I looked at, and what really blessed me was the fact that I knew the people there pretty good, and I loved the people there pretty good, and as far as I know, they love me. That was a big help. So I said, begin to pray about it. The burden stayed with me. One thing that was holding me up of moving, I could have moved months early and didn't realize it. My daughters had been in a wreck, and one of them was in a case with the insurance company, and they're trying to get that all settled, and I didn't think I could leave till we got everything finished. Finally, I said to my lawyer one day something about it. He said, oh, Carl, I don't need you here. I'm big boy, I can handle it. I don't need you, Carl. Oh, he said, go on. And he said, when we need something, we will work with your schedule to get that accomplished. I said, okay. So I went home, and I said, well, let's start getting ready to go. So then I went out there and I told him. But again, this is a major move. This is not Guthrie in my place, 17 and a half miles, well, 21 miles south of Chapel. This is a major move that I'd never done. Listen, folks, if God told you, I want you to do something, I'm going to lead you step by step. I want you to go here, and I'm going to lead you and show you and bless you. Could you do it? Could you do it by faith? What about Noah? When he started dealing with Noah to build the ark, it never rained. It never rained. It just had dew. No rain. And he said, I want you to build this ark. And he gave him all the dimensions and everything he wanted him to do, and I want you to build that. Listen, folks, if you go to Kentucky and see the Ark Encounter, that ship is humongous. It's got beams in it like this wide. I looked at the beams, and I go, wow. I thought, and it's supposed to be to scale. It's best they know by the Bible. It's supposed to be to scale, and they built it that way. And I was aghast at what I was seeing. Noah started right in, didn't he? Well, no big deal. He had God. He looked at him who was invisible, so to speak. Abraham looked at him who was invisible. Listen, folks. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Lord can lead us and guide us and take us. But it takes faith. It takes faith. It's not easy. Sometimes it takes faith. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Listen, folks, how great a blessing is Abraham? Any of us blessed by Abraham? You're here because of Abraham, because he was in the lineage of the whole deal. Whole deal basically started with him and went on down. And listen, folks, God took Abraham and told him what to do, and he moved out not knowing where he was going. He just followed the Lord. Now, if you have to pray twice about it or three times, not knowing exactly what you're supposed to do, just go easy, pray fast if you need to, and look to God and let God take you and lead you where He's wanting you to go. The old general was going to move. He thought he was supposed to go to Senith, Missouri. He got ready to move, and he had a dream. And in the dream, he had loaded his truck, big U-Haul, got everything in, family in the car, whatever. And he got in the truck, and he pulled out on the road and said, God built a big old block wall right there and stopped him. You know what he did? He didn't go to Senith. He went back to his knees. And then the Lord showed him what to do next. It worked out, being led to West Virginia. And he was a great blessing over there for many, many years. Oh, today, do you want to be a blessing? Do you want to help somebody? Do you want to encourage somebody? Do you want to lift somebody? Do you want to help them grow up in Christ and be strong in the Lord and have faith in God? Lord, help us. Abraham went through something, but look at what he done. He's a blessing to me. So I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old. Now I know people lived a lot longer back then, but the way I look at it, 75 is not a young age. There's one person in here way older than that, and one of us just a little bit younger than that. But the bottom line is, I ain't the man I used to be. So consequently, he's tackling something, and at that point of life, the way they had long lives, he was probably in his prime. And God taking him and blessing him. He was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance. He obeyed. And he went out not knowing. That's what really touched me. Not knowing whether he went. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise, for he looked for a city. Listen, folks, there's people looking for the city today. And they need you and I that have seen this city and we're headed toward that city and live in that city, so to speak. They need to see somebody that is able to give them directions and encouragement and how to do what they need to do to be in the city, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, today, have faith in God. How much faith have we got? Could we say that our faith is stronger now than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? You've been through some things, or you would be here. But just how much faith do we have? How much faith do we have in God? Appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.